بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. And today inshallah we'll have class number 9 in the series of You Need a New Start. And this is class number 5 in the classes of provision. And the title of the class is Keys of Provision. Actually, the meaning of keys of provision is the ways to increase earning. And we will learn about these keys from the Quran and the Sunnah. Number 1, the first key of provision is taqwa of Allah. What is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa is an Arabic word which means to guard yourself from Allah's anger, which entails doing whatever Allah has commanded you and avoiding whatever Allah has prohibited. So the question is, what is the relation between taqwa and provision? The answer is in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, verse number 96. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. And if the people of the towns had believed and had taqwa piety, certainly we should have opened for them blessings from the heavens and the earth. Okay? So actually, this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if the people believed in Allah and if they fear His anger, Allah would have opened up for them blessings from the heavens and the earth. They would have been given such blessings in abundance without restrictions. Allah's blessings will come to them from above and beneath. These are the unlimited blessings which human beings are not familiar with. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Talaq, Surah verse number 2 and 3 clarified to us about the relation between taqwa and provision. Surah At-Talaq, Surah number 65, verse number 2 and 3. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And whoever fears Allah and keeps his duty to him, he will make a way for him to get out from every difficulty. And he will provide him from sources he never could imagine. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in this verse of the Quran a very important rule related to sustenance or provision. The law is that fear of Allah's anger, that is to say taqwa, if you have the taqwa, Allah equals to an outlet from every trial plus unexpected provision. Okay? So what is the benefits of this great law? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending for me, you know, a rule or a law in the Quran. If I have taqwa, this means that if I fear Allah, this means that if I obey His commands and stay away from what He has prohibited, if I do so, this equal to an outlet from every trial plus unexpected provision. How can I actually get benefit of this law in my worldly life? Okay, let us first agree that trials and disasters cause psychological damage to the human being. That damage will be reflected on all the aspects. It will lead to health deterioration, sadness, loss of hope, weakness of faith, total damage of the human being. So if I believe that the disasters are the cause of my total damage, immediately when someone will come and tell me, I will give you an outlet in every difficulty, okay, this will be the most important gift for me, is that Allah is promising me, in every difficulty, I will have an outlet for you. So, oh Allah, in all my long life, inshallah, whenever I will have a difficulty, you will make for me an outlet, yes. So the question is how I can reach this goal through taqwa of Allah, fear of Allah. This is clarifying how the taqwa, you know, has to be, you know, the goal for every one of us. This is clarifying how I will love to be from those whom they are the bias. I love to be from the bias. Not I have to, no, I love to. When you tell me, Sister Mona, why you love to be from the bias, I tell you because when I have piety, I have the reassurance from Allah that in every difficulty He will give me an outlet. This means that inshallah I will never be damaged through my life. This means that inshallah I will be always in a good shape in my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my relation with my husband. I will never inshallah have a big accident or, you know, lose my health or whatever disasters in my life. I have the promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there will be an outlet for me. So I love to be from the bias, and I am caring a lot to be from the bias because, you know, this is the most important promise for me in my life, to have an outlet, you know, from every trial. Also, being one from the bias, okay, I will receive the other promise from Allah, which is unexpected, you know, provision. Okay, Allah is promising the bias that He will give him an expected provision and an outlet from every, you know, trial. Now I will give you a story or two examples of two sisters. One of them is having taqwa, that is to say she is living her life according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to avoid whatever Allah prohibit. Our two sisters, again, one of them is in taqwa, that is to say, she is obeying the commands of Allah and she fears Allah's anger, okay, and the other one is not actually obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them were exposed to the same trial, their husbands lost their jobs. So now, let us evaluate how the taqwa will save that sister from, you know, the damage of the trial. Regarding the sister who has taqwa, when her husband will tell her, I lost my job today, she will reassure her husband and remind him with the law of taqwa and provision. She will tell him, so long we have taqwa, we must be sure that Allah will make for us an outlet from this trial, and Allah will provide us from unexpected sources. She will not feel any sadness, worry or upset. Instead, she will be looking for the solution and for Allah's provision. She will be patient and she will be accepting Allah's decree, hoping for improving the situation soon. This means that she escaped the damage of the trial. She guarded her spirit, her health, her mental status, her relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and her relation with her family from the damage of the trial. She proved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she is a believer in His rules. And actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her husband a work in a better company soon. Okay, regarding the other sister who is not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when she knows that her husband lost his job, immediately she will not accept Allah's decree. She will question Allah, oh Allah, why my husband, why we are the ones to suffer always. Gradually the damage of the trial will make her to be always sad, upset, frustrated, depressed, fighting with her husband, blaming him for the layoff. She even will stop prayer because she is unhappy with Allah's decree, and she will be always shouting, screaming to her kids. In conclusion, the trial damaged her psychologically, mentally, it damaged her health, her relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, her relation with her husband and kids. The damage of the trial affects her worldly life and the hereafter. Then her husband will not find a job as quick as the other sister, as they didn't fulfill, you know, the reasons to have the unexpected provision and the outlet, because they don't have taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again and again, sisters, we as believers in the oneness of Allah, who can reflect. If you want to prove to yourself that you have a mind and you can reflect, try to realize the importance of having the taqwa or the fear of Allah's anger in your spirit, because this is the source of the reassurance, psychological reassurance for you, that all praise to Allah. I am not worried if someone will come and tell me my husband laid off. I am not worried if my daughter failed the exam. I am not worried if my son divorced his wife. I am not worried if my husband is not in a good shape with me. I am not worried if the doctor tell me you are sick. I am not worried, inshallah, at all, because being from the bias is making me to have the promise from Allah that inshallah I will have an outlet from every trial, and Allah will provide me from unexpected sources. Again, sister, this provision is not wealth. No. The unexpected sources, you know, means that when I become sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for me, inshallah, to send for me a provision, which may be a medicine, okay, to help me to be in a better shape. A doctor who is having new points of view, which will help me to have a new medication. If my daughter is divorced, Allah will send for her own husband. This is the unexpected provision. You know, if my son is not good in the school, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him to travel to another country and to start a new job, then he will be successful. This is the unexpected provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which none of us can expect or can imagine, but it is still, you know, the blessings of having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are looking for a key for your provision, always look for the taqwa, to be one of the bias, to fear Allah and to obey Allah, because this is the source of the reassurance for your spirit. The second key of provision is tawakkul. Tawakkul means relying and depending on Allah the Exalted. Allah the Exalted said in Surah At-Talaq, the same surah, verse number 3. We will read now from the same surah, verse number 3. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whosoever puts his trust in Allah, then he will suffice him. This means, the sister, that Allah will provide the true believer who relied on his Lord with all that is sufficient for him. He will never be in need of anyone. Allah will provide him with all what he is in need of, so long he is having the trust in the provider, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Relying on Allah doesn't mean that one leaves striving in this world. As Allah said, so walk among its slopes and eat of his provision. In Islam, we must try all the means and do all the effort to earn our provision, believing that the provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you relied on Allah with a true reliance, he would provide for you the same as he provides birds. They set off in the early morning with empty stomachs and return back at the end of the day with full stomachs. What is the meaning of this hadith, sisters? The meaning is that these birds, you know, they didn't stay in the nest. Instead, they fly long distances looking for their sustenance while they have empty stomach in the morning. In the morning, they start the long journeys, okay, while they have empty stomach. But because of the full trust in Allah the Provider, Allah the Exalted will provide them and then guide them to return back to their nests at the end of the day with full stomach. You see? So this is the law, having trust in Allah and trying all the means equals to reassurance of Allah's provision. Again and again, sister, this is very important. You know, these rules are very important psychological rules. You know, Allah is sending these rules to us in the Quran because these are the rules of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I believe that having trust on Allah and relying on Allah is the key of my provision, I will never be after the people, after the human being, trying to beg them, trying to be nice to them for the sake of what they have. I will never have this attitude ever in my life. I will not fear a human being. I will not be trying to be nice for a human being in the sake for giving me a provision. I will never be from the hypocrite or from the liars or from the deceivers, because I believe that my provision is only up to my Lord. I will be from the pious. I will be from the people whom they have the good manners. I will be a sincere believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays, everyone is complaining, I don't have sincerity. When I pray, I can't concentrate in my prayer. You can't concentrate on your prayer because you don't believe in reality in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we believe in reality in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will believe that the one who will provide me is Allah. The one who will take care of me is Allah. The one who will cure me is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will be all the time sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all my life is only up to Him. This sincerity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be reflected on my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I am praying, during my prayer, during my recitation of the Quran, during my work. In every minute of my life, I will be very sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I believe in Him and I trust Him and I depend only on Him. And this is actually the mercy of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when I believe in this, my spirit will have the freedom from the pressure of the human being. I will not fear my husband. I will not fear the boss of my work. I will not fear my doctor that maybe he will come and tell me, you have few days, then you will die. I will not fear any human being, because I believe only that everything is only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the blessings of the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which most of the Muslims are not giving it attention, and they are just after learning the rules and the fiqh and the sharia, in spite of the fact they don't have the real, true, sincere belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, they are far away from happiness, far away from balance, far away from having a goal, far away from the right life. Why? Because they don't concentrate on the basic fundamental fact in Islam, which is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one. You see, the third key of provision is seeking Allah's forgiveness and repentance. Now we will know about the fact that seeking Allah's forgiveness and repentance is the key of the provision from Surah Nuh, verse number 11 and 12. Read from Surah Nuh, Surah number 31, verse number 11 and 12, to know the relation between seeking forgiveness and provision. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We will read 10, 11 and 12 from Surah number 71. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. I said to them, this is Prophet Nuh, he is saying to his people, I said to them, ask forgiveness from your Lord, verily he is of forgiving. He will send rain to you in abundance and give you increase in wealth and children and bestow on you gardens and bestow on you rivers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that seeking Allah's forgiveness is the way to all the blessings. When you seek Allah's forgiveness, okay, saying, oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness and I repent to you, this is a message. You are sending it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying that you are admitting your sins and your intention to get rid of these sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately will send for you the provision in many forms. As it is mentioned in this verse of the Quran, Allah will send the rain, which is the source of life on the earth. Allah will provide you with the wealth and with the children, all forms of provision. Allah will provide it to you so long that you seek His forgiveness when you do sins and you are looking for repentance. The fourth key of provision is to honor ties with the blood relatives. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever likes to have increase in his provision and to live long should honor ties with his blood relatives. We learn a rule from this hadith. When you honor your ties with your blood relatives, Allah will increase your provision and Allah will give you long life. Actually, sisters, there is a very important point which we must realize it from that hadith. Okay? We all need to revise our relations with our blood relatives, as we mostly forget about these ties with our blood relatives, which are supposed to provide us with warmth, belonging, love and peace. Again and again, sisters, it is always your blood relatives whom, you know, you are seeking to feel the warmth, the love, the belonging with them. So when you tie your when you keep your relations with them in a good shape, this means that you are getting a lot of blessings. Number one, you are feeling that you are not alone in this life. Instead, I have my relatives, they love me, they care for me, they check about me. Okay, so this will give you the feeling of warmth and the feeling of belonging and love. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your provision and Allah will give you long life. So we must care to keep the ties with our relatives and not to forget completely about them, as it is mostly going on nowadays. Everyone is very selfish. Everyone is living with himself or herself, forgetting, you know, gradually about all the relation with the blood ties. This is a sign that Allah will not give that person good provision. Allah will not give that person long life, because long life and provision are related to your relation with your blood relatives effect, which every one of us must revise it again. The fifth key of the provision is constantly worshipping Allah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says, O son of Adam, take time out of constantly worship me. I will fill your heart with richness and remove your poverty. And if you do not do so, I will make your hands filled with occupation and you will not remove your poverty. Now I will clarify to you the meaning of this hadith, the depth of that hadith, sisters, because this hadith is actually a hadith of mercy for the believers. What is the meaning of worshipping Allah all the time? Again, sisters, in Islam, the word worship of Allah includes every saying and deed that fulfill the following. To have the intention from every saying and deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To look for the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So this means that from when you wake up in the morning until you sleep at night, you can have all the day as an act of worship. Why? Because when I wake up, I have the intention, oh Allah, today all my deeds and all my sayings are for your sake. And I want you to be pleased with me, and my reward is only from you. Then when you go to your work, you do your work in the best shape, not for the sake of to please the boss, not for the sake that everyone will say that you are an excellent engineer or whatever. No, it is for the sake of the obeying the commands of Allah, because we are commanded in Islam to do our work in the best shape. This is for the one who is going to work. This is for the mother whom she is staying at home, taking care of her house and for her family. She has to do the best for the cleaning, adjusting, raising the kids in the best shape, not looking for any nice word from her husband or a gift or you know, a reward from her kids when they grow up. Never. She is looking for the reward only from the only one who can give the reward, Allah the Almighty. Okay? So if you have this intention, and if you try to live your life looking for the reward only from Allah, you are worshipping Allah constantly. Okay, oh Allah, now I am worshipping you all the time. What you will give you me, Allah will make your heart to be full with richness. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this, sister, is that you will be all the time content with Allah's provision for you. You always feel that, all praise to Allah, I am rich. Someone will come and tell you, but your car is so old. You will reply, all praise to Allah, but my car, I can use my car to fulfill all my needs. Okay, I can move from any place to other place with my car. All praise to Allah, my car is in a good shape. It is old, but it is in a good shape. Okay, I am content with my car. Then I am content with my clothes. But you have only three clothes? Yes, I have only three. But they are clean and they are in a good shape, and I am content with him. This is the heart which is full with richness. This is the rich heart. What is the meaning of rich heart? The heart which is content with Allah's decree. You never look to the others and feel very upset. Oh Allah, why Romania has this? Oh Allah, why Ismin has this? This is the poor people. And actually, sisters, in reality, there are many people whom they have a lot of provision. And actually, this happens to me with my sister. She is extremely rich, extremely rich. And actually, she has a lot of clothes and a lot of watches. Especially, she loves the watches, and she has one or two gold watches, 100%. Once we went out to, one of the malls, and she was in front of one of the, watch shops, and she looked for a watch which is equal to $150 only. And she said to me, oh, Mona, look, I want to have this watch from the depths of my heart. I told her, but look to the watch in your hand. Your watch is equal to $20,000. Why you are looking for the watch with $150 and you are so keen to have it? She told me, you know, Mona, I am in need to have a lot of things. I said in myself, you are a very poor human being in reality. Your heart is poor. You know why? Because you will be all the time looking for anything which you don't have it. You know, you never have the rich heart. The rich heart is the heart which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to those whom they are worshipping him all the time, whom they are looking for to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will make you all the time. Your heart is in the best shape. When you have the rich heart, you are content. You are saying all praise to Allah from the depth of your heart. You are not having envy or hatred or upset or sadness. Okay, because you have the rich heart, in spite of the fact, in reality, you are a poor person. Okay, this is the blessings of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will spend your time and you will live your life while you have this rich heart. You will be all the time in a good shape, all the time in a good relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. all the time in a good relation with everyone around you. But when you have the poor heart, even if you have a lot of wealth, you will be all the time calling on Allah, oh Allah, I want so and so, oh Allah, I am not content, in spite of the fact you are very rich, okay, regarding wealth, but you are very poor regarding your heart. And this is the real poverty and the real richness, okay? The rich and the poor in Islam is related to the state of the heart, not to the state of the wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you with this heart which is rich when you are living your life as an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rest of the hadith, Prophet Muhammad is saying, Allah will remove your poverty. You will never feel poor. You will never have poverty because of your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not very rich. You are not rich, but you are not poor. You don't have the poverty. Okay? But for the others, whom they don't live their life as an act of worship, they live their life in order to collect the wealth or to live the fun of the worldly life. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make their hands filled with occupation. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that when you check about the people, okay, you will notice that everyone is working day and night. There is no time to pray in a calm environment because working day and night, there is no time for the Quran, there is no time for relaxation, there is no time for the kids, there is no time for the family. Why? Because the hands are filled with occupation all the time and Allah will not remove their poverty. What is the meaning of this? This is the situation of the sister which I just mentioned. She is in reality in poverty. Why? Because she is not content with anything. Oh, I need this and that and this and that. I need a lot of things. I am still in poverty. Okay, in spite of the fact that her husband is working day and night, his hands are full with occupation, but still they are poor people in reality. Why? Because they don't live, you know, their life as an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sister, this is clarifying that everything is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give me a rich heart, okay, which is that a heart which is content with everything. When Allah wants me never to feel that I am poor. These feelings are not, you know, up to anyone. These feelings is only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah. This is the blessings of Allah, which everyone is in need of, but most of the Muslims are on the wrong track, you know, to have the rich heart and to have the feeling of being content. Why? Because they don't have the knowledge, number one, and they don't follow the rules, number two. Now we will learn about the seventh key of provision, which is supplication and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua means calling on the Lord of the heavens and earth, calling on the owner of the heavens and earth, calling on the provider of all the creatures. Whenever your provision is restricted and you need increase, call on the one who listens to all. Call on the one who answers all. Call on the one who is the most generous. Call on the one who never returns your hands empty. Let us read now from the Quran, Surah number 16, verse number 96, to be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the keys of all the provision on the earth, and whatever Allah has will never reach an end. Okay, we will read now from Surah number 16, verse number 96. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عندكم ينفد وما عند الله باق. Whatever is with you will be exhausted, and whatever is with Allah will remain. Okay, so you know, sisters, you must realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider of everyone, and we must look for our provision through calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and actually again and again, sisters, because I give many classes about supplication, you must have, you know, this rule clear in your spirit. When you are in need of anything in this worldly life, just call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity and with the true belief that whenever Allah wants to do something, He will do it. Allah is the only one who can provide you. So call on Him, clarify to Him that, oh Allah, I know that whenever you want to do anything, you just say, be, and it will be. Oh Allah, I am a true believer. Oh Allah, I am in need. Oh Allah, I am sure that You will give me what I am looking for. When you send these messages of belief and trust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you the provision which is best for you, which maybe you are not aware of. Okay, the eighth key of provision is spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will read from Surah Sabah, Surah 34, verse 39. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن ربي يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر له وما أنفقتم من شيء فهو يخلفه وهو خير الرازقين. Say, truly my Lord enlarges the provision for whom He wills of His slaves and restricted it for Him. And whatsoever you spend of anything in Allah's cause, He will replace it, and He is the best of providers. You see, sisters, this rule must be clear to every believer that whatever you give for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it for you. Why? Allah will replace it for me because Allah is the best of the providers. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has said, O son of Adam, spend, I will spend on you. If I believe that the source of all the provision is Allah, the one who is providing every one of us is Allah, then Allah is commanding me, saying to me, Mona, spend, and I will spend on you. Okay? So, as a true believer in the promises and rules of Allah, I will spend. Okay, I will give for the sake of Allah. Because this is the second hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is not a single day in which a servant wakes up in the morning. I will say to you the hadith, then I will clarify to you. That two angels come down from the heavens. One of them says, O Allah, give to the one who spends for Your sake a substitute for what he has spent. And the other one says, O Allah, give to the one that withhold not spending for Your sake destruction. What is the meaning of this hadith, sister? The meaning of this hadith is that every day in the morning, Allah sent two angels, okay, saying and calling on Allah. Okay, whoever will give for the sake of Allah, they are calling on Allah, give him substitution. And the other one is saying, O Allah, those whom they have their wealth or their money, they are not giving their sadaqah, their zakah. This is number one, because many Muslims are not giving the zakat. You know, which is the right of the poor in their money, they are not giving it. And also, if they have extra money, they are not helping the poor, they are not spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, that angel, the second one, is calling, give those people destruction. How we can live this hadith in our worldly life? Okay, if we have two sisters, okay, they are the same, you know, financially. Okay, both of them, their husband earn, for example, $5,000. Okay, one of them, okay, is following the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every year she is keen to count the amount of, you know, this charity, and she will give it always in the month of Ramadan because of the multiplication of the good deeds in the month of Ramadan. This is the charity. But other than the charity, she will try her best according to what she has. Even if you have $1, $2, have a dollar, it is not the problem, the amount of money which you give for the sake of Allah. The most important is your intention, that whenever I can give for the sake of Allah, I will give. For example, if I have $5 with me today in my bag, And I am planning to go and to eat, you know, in McDonald's and to buy Pepsi, all $5. Then, while I am leaving the masjid, I noted that one sister is mentioning that she is very sick. She is admitted to the hospital. She doesn't have any money. I will tell to myself, Mona, you can today eat whatever you have at home. Forget about McDonald's. Okay, this sister is in need. Okay, I will give her the $5. Okay, then I will go home. The angel said, Allah give a substitute. When I will go home, my husband will call me and tell me, can you imagine? And this is the reality, sisters. Can you imagine that the boss give me today an increase of the salary of $500? This is the substitution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not give me $5. Because I give $5, because I am a human being, I am a poor human being. Allah is the rich. Allah has everything. Allah will replace me with more and more. One possibility is that my husband will have this increase in the salary. Okay, the other possibility is that if I am sick, if I am ill, and I am looking for the result of my blood test, the doctor will call me and tell me, Sister Mona, congratulations, your blood test is very good. You are not sick, everything is all right. This is the greatest substitution. If I have my daughter and I am looking for her to marry, you know, and this is upsetting me, and I just give the $5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it very soon that someone will call and tell me, I am interested in your daughter. Then everyone will say, why this is happening to that sister? This is happening to that sister because that sister is following the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever there is a chance to give, I will give, whatever. But I have the intention to give because I am looking for the substitution. I am looking for the provision from the one who owns the heavens and the earth. This, my $5, is nothing. Maybe I will buy the food from McDonald's and it will not be in a good shape and I will throw it. You see, this is the other sister. The other sister, whom she's coming out from the masjid with the first one, she also has $5. When the sick sister asked for help, she said, no, I want to go to McDonald's, I want to eat my food, this is, you know, my right. Yes, this is your right. But Allah said, you know, if you don't try to give, okay, there will be destruction. Forms of destruction are different and you can't imagine it. Number one, maybe the meal will not be good. Number two, maybe she will have an accident and she will pay this amount of money because she was in a test, you know, to meet that sister, you know, while we are leaving the masjid. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one succeeded the test. The first one will be looking for the substitution from the owner of the heavens and the earth. The other one, whom she refused to give the $5, very little amount, she failed the test. And she has to be ready for the destruction. So, sisters, we must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the rich and is the owner of all the provision. And we must believe that the only provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides His servants according to His rules, okay, which aim at spreading mercy on the earth. Now, when we are both leaving the masjid, okay, and there is one sister is in need. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to give those in need? Because Allah wants us to spread mercy on the earth. So that everyone will feel that we are one. So that everyone will feel that there are other sisters to whom they are looking for me. They don't know me, but when they just know that I am in need, immediately, you know, immediately they give me for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is encouraging those who have a lot of provision to give to those who have little so that all will be living a good life. They will love each other, they will support each other and take care of each other. Allah is encouraging the believer to support the needy through the promise to give them a substitute for all that they spend for the sake of Allah. Allah the Most Merciful is warning blessing those whom they don't give for his sake. Sister, this is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will destroy their wealth as they don't obey his commands regarding helping and supporting the poor. And I want to clarify to you a very important fact. Many people, they don't give the charity and they don't help the poor, and they say that we are in need of our wealth. Why? Because I want to buy a new car for my son, because I want to have a new house, because I want to buy new clothes. Then what will happen to the car? Their son will have an accident with the car, or he will have drugs. He will know bad friends because now he has a car, he can drive all around. He will have friends and he will have, you know, drugs. The house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it not to be a blessed house. Why? There is no blessings, there is no mercy in the life of most of the people because they don't give for the sake of Allah, and they don't believe that whatever you will give, Allah will give you a substitute. Okay? And again, sister, if you believe that all the money is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so why you are not giving? It is not your money. It is not your wealth. It is the wealth of the one who tells you, give others and I will give you. Oh Allah, immediately I will give because it is not mine. This is number one. Number two, again and again, sisters, the wealth and the money is not up to its amount. It is up to its blessings. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide you with $1,000, then He make it for you blessed. You will spend it in clothes which you will use it every day. You will buy food which you will like it and enjoy it. You can have to go to a trip and that trip will be the best in your life. And the other friend whom she's not spending for the sake of Allah, that $1,000 will be a destruction. She will buy clothes and she will never use it. She will buy a car which is whatever, you know, it will always be not in a good shape. Why? No one is trying to realize why. Why? Because that person is spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will give him a substitution. Substitution is good life, substitution is good time, substitution is good health. You know, the substitution is a word which only Allah knows its meaning. The other one whom he or she, they don't like to spend for the sake of Allah, under the impression that I will need the money in the future, you don't know if you will have life to spend that money. And actually there is a story about a man who likes to collect money. So he collects very big amount of money. And once he came to his friends and he told them, I am so happy today. I collected the amount of money exactly which I was looking for. So one of his friends asked him, are you sure that you will have lifetime to spend all that money which you are collecting? This is the reality which most of the people are not aware of. They are just after collecting the money. Are you sure that you will have health to enjoy the money? Are you sure that you will have life to enjoy the money? Are you sure that you will have family or someone to enjoy the money with you? No one is trying to reflect in the right way. Actually, there is a story, I will just mention it to you, about hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there was a person who he was in an open area of the land. A man was standing in an open area. Then he heard a voice in a cloud. And the voice is that, he heard that there is a voice in a cloud saying, water the garden of so and so. So the cloud immediately departed and started pouring its rain in a different garden. Okay? The man, for example, is standing here and he listened that in the cloud there is a voice saying, move to the land of so and so and pour the rain there. Okay? So the man was so surprised, and actually he moved and he followed the cloud, and he noted that there is a man standing in that garden. So he went to the man and he told him, I heard a voice in the cloud saying, send the rain on your garden. Do you know why? Why this is happening? He told him, yes, because I divide my money, one third for the poor, one third for my family and one third again to take care of my land. I always give the part for the poor. At the most important of my money is to give that one third for the poor people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is sisters, the substitution. When I told you, when you give, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you give for the sake of Allah, Allah will give you a substitution. That man, he is giving, you know, money for the sake of Allah. What Allah is sending for him? Allah is sending for him the rain. Who can give the rain? Who can send the rain? Who can make the rain? And can you compare to give some money to the poor by sending the rain from the heavens? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sisters. Okay, so in conclusion, let us realize that Allah's provision will be given to those who have the right connection with Him. None can provide except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't waste your life time asking people for the provision. Instead, follow the rules of the provider so that He will provide you all the time and will make for you an outlet from every trial. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness and Your provision. All praise to Allah. I finished the classes of provision. Inshallah, from next week, I will start, inshallah, the classes of marriage in a very unique way, which was not actually followed before in any of the Islamic classes, because we need to revise the situation of the family, the relation between the husband and wife, how to improve our family life, so that inshallah we will be a good Muslim community. And let us start the dua together, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause Your love to exceed all loves in us and cause Your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the heart, keep our heart firm in Your religion. Keep it contented with Your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom You have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom You have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to Your care with those whom You have taken to Your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask You for success on the Day of Judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in You from a decline in Your favor, from a change in Your protection, from Your sudden punishment and all Your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet You. O Allah, our Lord, we ask Your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask You to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask You to increase Your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who followed him sincerely until the resurrection day. And